Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for MacBreak Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is MacBreak Weekly, episode 42, for May 29th, 2007. Justine, not Justin. It's time for MacBreak Weekly, ladies and gentlemen, and we are gathered together, once again dispersed to the four winds, I'm sorry to say. No longer housed in the comfortable womb of the Podango Studios, we must instead venture forth into the real world. Merlin Mann in the chilled avenues of San Francisco.
I can barely hear you, Leo. It's a very foggy day here, but you're coming through.
Foghorn. Scott Bourne, who is, I believe, probably ensconced at Podango.
I am at Podango.
But almost all alone, except for his friends.
That's accurate.
Yes, he has friends. And then I'm really thrilled to go to Pittsburgh to get Justine on the line. She's been on MacBreak and MacBreak Weekly before. Hi, Justine.
Hi, how are you?
There's a little twist this time. She's also on Justin TV right now.
Yes.
4 days, 15 hours, and 59 minutes later.
Except it's only been today, so
I think why does it say that?
I know. I'm not sure.
Today's the day you started. It's Justin. Don't go to Justine.tv.
No, iJustine.tv. I'm going to forward that to the correct link.
Okay. Because if you go to Justine.tv, unless you like thongs a lot. But if you go to iJustine, so it's iJustine.tv. Oh, that's a good one to get. Or you can go to Justin.tv/Justine.
iJustine.
/iJustine. And they talked you into wearing the headgear.
They did.
How has that been for you?
Well, it's only been half of a day so far, and pretty much all I've done is type all day, so I feel bad for anyone watching, but hey, we still have work to do,
I watched you drive in the car with Desiree. I watched you at the coffee shop.
There you go.
Crazy Mocha.
Yes, and that's pretty much all we did today.
And you're going to a Pirates game later, though, huh?
We're going to try to. It's supposed to start at 7 o'clock, which is right now, so we might do that tomorrow.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
This is more fun than a Pirates game.
It is more fun, but don't tell anyone.
Also, you wouldn't have to get the express written permission of Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
You would have to point the camera away from the game, I think.
I'm not sure. I was pretty much just going to kind of hide it in my purse and see what happens.
I like what you said to the Apple store. Is it true you told them that you needed it in order to see?
I did. I told this kid I was blind.
Oh. You didn't buy it, huh?
He did. He believed it, and I felt
and
really
no
bad
doubt
after.
He was one of the geniuses at the Genius Bar.
No,
you
actually,
just cross your eyes a little bit and kind of like.
He was just some random customer, and he's like, "Hey, is that a camera on your head?" I'm like, "No, this is actually. I need to use this to see." And then I felt bad, and I had to go tell him the truth afterwards.
Did you get thrown out?
No, I didn't. They just accepted it.
They didn't mind you being in there, huh?
Cool. Although you do have a history of being thrown out of the Apple Store.
Yeah, see, I saw that blog post, but that wasn't because of the camera. That was something else.
No, that was actually fake. The guy, he just randomly was joking around, and he said, "Hey, no video blogging in the store." So I made him repeat it and fake getting kicked out. So
you gotta be careful with faking things because people believe it, and then it lives on forever.
So true.
Chris Perillo learned that. They did a little staged thing where they were looking at Edison cylinders, and the guy was on, and the guy said, "Yeah, there are only three of these. I think Chris said, "How much is this worth?" He said, "Well, it's priceless. There's only three." And Chris says, "Well, can I hold it?" And then drops it and it smashes. And if you go to YouTube or anywhere, you'll see, oh, amazing blooper. The whole thing was staged.
I did see that. That's pretty funny.
The whole thing was staged.
What about all those times that you misspeak and accidentally work blue on Tech TV? Staged. Was that all staged?
Totally planned. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, we had it all worked out.
I've seen some pretty good outtakes.
YouTube. Talking about the famous Bilbo Baggins blooper?
I think that's the one.
My kids found that recently.
Oh, man.
And this is, again, an example of where you really got to be careful nowadays because everything lives forever.
It does. It's dangerous.
Now, you're smart because, Justin wears the hat. And so really all we see is his messy bedroom and, his hands fiddling with things. But you take the hat off and you point it at yourself.
mean, I'm probably going to do both. I mean, I'll wear it and take it off, but it really depends. I mean, I know I'd always get irritated. I'm like, Justin, I'd like to see you when you're actually talking to us. It makes it a little more interesting.
Well, speaking for Scott Bourne, I think we'd all like to see you. Wait a minute.
No.
I'm going to say, if my choice is looking at Justin or Justine, this is a pretty simple choice.
They tried to send me the hat, but I'm thinking I don't really want to do that. I don't think my wife would let me do it, for one thing.
Yeah, that might be interesting.
She's a little adverse to getting being on camera in general. If I wake up in the morning with a hat on with a camera and say, "Hi, dear," I'm getting it in the puss, just big fat fist, you know, boom. So I don't think that's going to work.
Yeah, that might not work out too well.
Well, anyway, how long are you going to do this? You're going to do it 24/7 and everything?
Probably.
Really?
Other than, of course, not going to have it on the shower or bathroom, none of that. But, I mean, I pretty much...
I'm canceling my subscription.
Oh, stop.
Oh, no.
Justine, do you have a boyfriend?
Good choice, Justine. Don't go blue because you can never go back.
Thanks, Merlin. He's been giving me that advice for years. We did that. We went blue and came back on Mac Break Weekly. We put the explicit tag up.
Uh-oh.
And
we never even actually said any dirty words.
No,
we
just
got
did
yelled
it.
At.
Yeah, you know who yelled at us? Alex. He said, "I want my kids to watch or listen."
Oh, well, see, I know I have to be very careful because I know my mom and my grandma watch everything. So,
that's so cool.
That's really
Alex
cool.
has his kids watching, and I have my mom and grandma. So
how's your family feel about it? Are they think it's a good idea?
Well, I haven't really officially told them. I've made mention to it.
You don't think they noticed that camera on your
you
head as you walked
around? You were in the you were on the front page of the SF Gate here.
I know. See, Pittsburgh hasn't really adapted yet, but I'm sure when they find out. And plus, my mom reads my blog, so I'm sure when she gets home from work, she's going to find out and give me a call.
Tastyblogsnacks.com. She also has a video site called Mommy Pack My Lunch, but they're changing that to Mommy Clean My Lens. It's a whole new site.
Oh,
so she knows by now. She's probably watching this.
Probably.
She knows. Hey. So how about your boyfriend? How's he going to take to this?
Well, I don't have a boyfriend, so I probably wouldn't have agreed to this if I did, because he probably would have broke up with me.
No dates,
right then
baby.
And there. No, I probably won't go on dates either.
Yeah. Well, Justin goes out on dates, but I think it's kind of weird.
Yeah, they've all been awkward, so hopefully he finds a nice girl. Soon.
They've been painful. But they've been painful.
They have
and
been.
And of course your best friend Desiree appears a lot too, as she does in all your films. She doesn't mind.
Yeah. She doesn't, but she's like, "Will you please just get that out of my face just for 5 minutes?"
Oh, interesting. Yeah, because I was watching you guys drive.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she was on it just as much as you. I mean, that's actually a pretty good vantage point, the car cam.
Yeah, it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, it
I'm
looked
surprised.
Great. Yeah, it looked really good. All right. Well, this is a show actually about tech news. Justine is justifiably the front page. By the way, they never reveal what the computer that you're using, but I believe it's a Mac Mini. You don't have to say because you're probably under an NDA. But
actually, it's a Sony. But
it's
anyway,
a Sony.
Keep going. Yep. Just keep going.
It's a Sony.
Just go with it. It is.
Wow. It's a Sony.
It is, and it's a cute little Vio. Actually,
I thought it was a Mac Mini.
I wish.
Oh, man.
At least
but you
cute,
do have
so.
A Mac, don't you, Justine?
I do.
Oh, she's all Mac.
I have a Mac Mini and nice MacBook Pro right in front of me.
She killed me on April Fool's Day. She really fooled me. She said she was giving up her Mac and buying a Sony, and she even changed the title at her blog where she's holding a Mac, and it was a Vio.
Oh tragic.
And I said, "You're dead to me. I can't believe you're doing
you're
this.
You're dead to me.
You're dead. You'll never be on Mac Break Weekly again, kid."
No.
And you. All right. Mac Break Weekly Ideas is our website, mbwideas.com. In the most trivial use ever of a domain name, this points to our delicious site. Thank you, Merlin Mann, for setting that up.
My pleasure.
What a waste of $9.50 a year.
You know, that's the thing, though. It's like you reach a certain point and you just stop noticing. Once you pass 100, it's all you just don't
no wonder all the domain names are gone. People are so lazy that they're going, "I can't remember my to-do list. Okay, let me just create a domain name for it." I guess nobody would use mbwideas.com, so
I don't think we're depriving people of much.
Nobody's dying with that one.
Actually, I've got more than 15,000 domains because I keep going to look at the picture of the GoDaddy girl.
Oh wow.
So you just go, "I'll register something, sure. No problem. Whatever, I'm fine." So I forwarded. I didn't forward it to you because I didn't know you were going to be on, Justine. But I forwarded to you guys some iPhone news. We might as well just get this out of the way. iPhone's, going to be out in a few weeks, and we can finally stop speculating. What do you think of the news? Did you look over the mail I sent out there to you, Scott Bourne?
I did not get it.
Oh, you didn't get it?
No.
Did you get it, Merlin?
No, I got it. I didn't read it.
Nobody read it. I don't care.
I saw the iPhone and my eyes started to gloss over.
Okay.
And then I had a little nap.
I'll read you the stories. Quanta wins order for second iPhone. According to Quanta Computer, which is a big Apple manufacturer, along with Foxconn, they got a contract to deliver 5 million units starting in September, not of the existing iPhone, but a slightly different one for the non-U.S. market. According to the Chinese language Commercial Times, the iPhone, and by the way, I studied Chinese, so I'm reading this in translation. The iPhone produced by Foxconn is designated for the U.S. market. Those manufactured by Quanta will be similar in function to those from Foxconn, but with a different outer design to fit different markets. And there's some speculation it may also have a different design so that it can be 3G. This is pretty much the only complaint people have right now about the iPhone not having used it, but everybody knows it because it's made for AT&T. It doesn't have the AT&T HSDPA in it. It doesn't have...
It's the one thing that people, you know, in terms of this, looking at a spec sheet sight unseen, the edge thing is something that has turned a lot of people off.
Yeah, I mean, for something that with a great browser and everything, to not have high-speed internet is a little odd. Especially since AT&T offers it.
Huh.
I spoke with AT&T spokespersons today about this, Leo. They claim that the Edge experience is going to be fine. We'll find out if that's true. They also point out that the Edge network works in places that 3G doesn't.
But they could do both. I mean, many phones have both HSDPA and Edge.
I'm really surprised that the AT&T rep would say that it's going to be a good experience.
I qualified, okay, didn't I? Don't give me grief. I qualified.
It's going to suck.
Also want to point out that, of course, it will have Wi-Fi capability, which is faster than 3G Edge or anything else.
Was there ever any kind of a verdict on whether this will be able to do anything Skype-like? Is that definitely on or off the table?
Well, there will be some Google applications on it. And, of course, one of the things Google has is Google Talk.
So, yeah, there's a lot of talk about Google widgets and things that we haven't been made privy to showing up later on the phone, either at launch or a little bit later. I did get some background info on that today as well. And we don't know. It will be extensible, at least vis-a-vis those widgets and who knows what else. And maybe what we'll find out on June 11th, Leo, is not that we're going to get the iPhone, but whether or not Jobs intends to open up development.
That's key as far as I'm concerned. I've got to have third-party apps.
Also, I definitely hope so.
Yeah. What app would you put on there, Justine?
I'm really excited. I really hope for Google Talk because I pretty much use that and I survive by it. I can't use it on my Trio.
I use it for my chat client all the time on my BlackBerry. Yeah. And because of things like IMified, you can use it then to post to Twitter and Jaiku. And so it really gives it a huge amount of functionality.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you on that. Perhaps Gmail, Google News Reader, GCal. According to the Seattle Times, people will be asked to have unlimited data packages when they get their iPhone. Actually, this is coming from Engadget. Ryan Block, our good friend, writing there. Okay, I'm not going to forget it. I didn't mention his name. He doesn't.
Was that the $30 a month package they were talking about?
Unlimited data. It costs me on my BlackBerry package is $50 a month, but. That's minus phone.
I spoke with a Singular Wireless chief spokesperson today, Leo, someone who is willing to be quoted, and they said that any report of any kind that claims to purport to know what packages will be available, what they will cost, is inaccurate.
Okay, good. We have it from the horse's mouth.
I don't really think they've made their minds up yet.
Yeah, well, they better hurry. They got to print stuff.
Yeah, it's
they've made up their minds. They've made their their print orders in. You're not going to go to the printer and say, "Oh, we need something tomorrow."
Well, they changed the signs overnight.
No, come on.
I don't know. I'm just telling you what he refused. He said there is nobody that knows exactly what packages we're going to offer. I pressed him on things like, what are you going to do if you're an existing customer? He says, I can't tell you. I pressed him on, is there going to be a Unity offering? He says, I can't tell you. I pressed him on what you're going to have in order to be an AT&T customer with the iPhone in terms of data packages, et cetera. He says, none of that stuff is going to be released until the phone is shipping. So he said, anybody that purports to know that is making it up.
All right.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's certainly under an NDA the size of the Tibetan Book of the Dead. There's no way he's going to reveal any of
the Tibetan Book of the Dead.
I mean, don't you think? I mean, talk about getting steeved. I mean, yeah. To reveal
but
any of that stuff.
I did ask him, I said, what's it like?
But he doesn't have to lie. I mean, nobody's saying, don't say that, you know, right?
I did ask him, I said, what's it like working with such a secretive company? And he said, well, we're fine with it. He said, especially with a product like the iPhone, it makes sense. And I mean, they all are. I will notice I've seen several spokespeople for the company respond to those types of questions. And it's interesting that they literally say the same thing word for word. It's great working with Apple. I mean, they literally say the same two sentences.
We love our partners. We love our partners. They are wonderful.
Steve Jobs is the kindest, bravest, warmest, and most wonderful human being I've ever known in my life.
Almost—I don't want to say this, but it almost sounds like they're reading off flashcards when they do it.
All scripted.
Sig Sigler cards, we call them. All right. Well, if you want to know more, I mean, that's it. Unless you have any other iPhone news, we'll just point everybody to AppleFoneShow.com because that's where, of course, Scott Bourne lives, and it's all iPhone all the time.
Thank you, Leo.
Any other anything else that we want to bring up before we move on?
No.
Just rumors, so no reason to talk about them.
Justine, are you going to wear the camera when you get in line at the AT&T store?
I will.
You will
I
get in line,
will.
Won't you? You'll be the first in line, won't you? I know you will.
I'll be there.
I'm actually thinking, you know, I've been saying I was going to get one, and now I'm thinking maybe not. Maybe I'll just wait. Just to make you crazy, Scott.
Well, you know, I want you to know, Leo, I was pretty impressed with your Nokia N95.
Yeah.
So I got a hold of one.
Oh, you actually got one? Well, you should have one.
I got a hold of one. I didn't buy it. I used it. And I was in a call that dropped. And I want you to know that I'm not too worried about the N95 being a competitor to the iPhone because it took 12 key presses to get back to redial. So
really?
I don't think they're quite there yet.
See, all you have to really do is press that little green button, Scott, and then press it again, and it dials it again.
It didn't work. When you drop a call, it doesn't do it like that.
It does it on my phone, but I guess it's probably too complicated for you.
I have a orthogonally related iPhone question for Justine. Justine is I know you're a text message monster.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it. I think we might have talked about this once before, but I'm curious. So how do you feel about the whole iPhone keyboard thing? Are you looking forward to it? Is it freaking you out? How do you feel about it?
I don't know because I've really got used to like the Trio keyboard. So
a real
I don't know.
Keyboard.
I'm not sure. Like I haven't used it yet. So
nice to have that feedback. You know, you decisively hit a key. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be very interesting to see how.
Congratulations, Justine, for not attacking the phone prior to using it.
I'm getting to hate it more and more, Scott.
Oh no!
And it's because of you. It's because of you.
It's all my fault.
You're driving me crazy. It's like you're such a pro. You're so pro iPhone. I'm starting to hate it.
I'm pro iPhone, but yet you look at my blog and you'll see I have a post dissing Singular and AT&T. I have posts pointing out potential problems with the network. I am not pro iPhone. I'm just asking people to give it a chance. And let me tell you, I'm prepared to make my show the anti-iPhone show.
I know.
Oh, no.
That'll happen.
That's going to be really rough.
That'll never happen. Apparently, MacRumors.com has been looking at their log. Did you see this?
I saw this. Look at our refers. We've been browsed with an iPhone. Because, you know, refers are like up there with email headers in terms of difficulty to fake.
Right.
Apple and, in Safari, you have to pull down to a menu to do it.
3.0 mobile. I don't know. If it were true, who cares, right? Of course, somebody's got them.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're going to be out there testing stuff. I'm being unnecessarily unkind. That would be very exciting.
Oh, it's easily no. You're absolutely right. It's easily faked.
And yeah, so I mean, like in OmniWeb, that's like you can say per site what browser you want to look like.
In fact, I'm surfing everywhere as an iPhone right now.
Really?
Yeah. Just thought that'd be fun. Drive you crazy.
You should surf as an iPhone too. That would be disruptive.
Now, that would really be disruptive.
Okay, deal. So the latest rumor, if you're reading on the iPhone, if you're reading Mac rumors, is that the Mac Mini is history. Would we be sad? I guess we talked about this last week. Would we be sad at the end of the Mac Mini?
I would. I actually really like my Mac Mini. I have like the first generation, and
me
it
too.
Works great. And I still use it just for MP3s and all the little stuff.
Actually, I have the first Intel Mac Mini, so that's not the first generation.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I like it a lot. And it's a,
I
it's,
do too.
It's a good little computer.
You think mm-hmm. it's a move to avoid cannibalization on Apple TV sales?
I eat brains. Or Mac Minis.
That's exactly what I thought, Merlin. When I first saw that rumor, I thought, you know, this thing looks like a Mac Mini. Yeah. The Apple TV looks like one. It's same form factor. You know.
I got a handful of friends that are like, I don't need an Apple TV. I'm really happy with this Mac Mini I've got by my TV. So I just wonder.
That makes sense. And it's more capable, too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, heck
it's
yeah.
more expensive, too, though.
Yeah. I like my Apple TV a lot. If it weren't so hot...
Dude, mine has been dropping like a bad habit.
Do you sync it?
Oh, my God. I sync it and I surf to my iTunes library.
Yeah, see, I stopped using the... You're right. I stopped... Unless you're all G and you're pretty close by, I think the streaming doesn't work all that well. But if you sync up the data and you're running it off the Apple TV, I haven't had any trouble with that.
The connection, okay, so how can I express this? I get nothing on the Apple TV, and then I go look at the host computer... And there's nothing under devices for the Apple TV. It's lost its.
Oh, so you have to you have to enter the number again and do that.
I got to take my rubber chicken out from under the bell jar and shake it around and do lots of restarts and incantations and sometimes. Yeah.
I haven't had that problem, but now I'm on an all G network for that. So I have the new Extreme and I have the MacBook Pro with a G card in it.
Yeah.
I wonder,
I'll try that.
Are you on B or not G? Did I say G? I meant N. I'm all N.
I finally unplugged my.
Where's Craig with his box?
We need the box.
Poor guy. He made the box and never got to use it.
I wasn't having a lot of luck with my AirPort Extreme. I should probably give it another shot. I've been trying to focus my efforts on.
That's right. You didn't you took it out of operation, didn't you?
Now wait a minute. You picked the AirPort Extreme 1 week as your pick of the week.
He liked it for a while.
That's not accurate. What I picked was the software for
the AirPort
memory serves, which I still like. But no, it's good. And I really got to say, I like mine a lot. And I finally gotten to a point, the point where it started to really become more fun for me is I've got a workflow that works now in terms of getting media onto there. So, getting Visual Hub working the way that I want.
I
think with a little bit of Automator Mojo, I can really take this to the next level.
I downloaded all of the tutors from an unnamed site, and then I ran through Visual Hub, and then had it automatically copied to the Apple TV. And man, it's...
Now Handbrake. Well, Handbrake doesn't automatically add it to iTunes. That would be the next missing piece. You can probably Apple script
that. But Visual Hub does it.
Visual Hub will, but if you have...
And I haven't found a file format yet on the internet that I can't convert with Visual Hub.
Well, but if you want to make a backup of a personal DVD...
Oh, a DVD. I let other people do that and just download it.
Yeah, I wouldn't know about that. But it would be nice if Handbrake... Because Handbrake now, as we talked about before, has built-in iPod and Apple TV settings. So it's like one click, and it just does all the...
As does Visual Hub.
I love Visual Hub. To me, that is so worth whatever it was, $30 or whatever.
Oh,
it's been working like a champ for me.
So, yeah, I haven't tried ripping DVDs and putting them on the Apple TV, mostly because I watch the DVDs, and then I use the Apple TV for TV shows mostly. And buy them whenever I can. I buy them on iTunes. If they're not on iTunes, well, then, you know. I
guess you don't watch them. That's really
I guess
what
I don't watch them. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Make them on iTunes if you want me to see them. Right? Right. Do you have an Apple TV, Justine?
I don't.
How do you watch TV?
I think we established that, I do have a TV, but I really never watch television. So I just watch it on my monitor or on my laptop.
TV watches you, and that's the way it ought to be. iJustine.com.
Is it about TV. People from
Pittsburgh? TV.
Yes.
People from Pittsburgh and watching TV on their computer. Is
based on our empirical study of Alex and Justine, we've decided that nobody...
Well, so far, everyone that I know from Pittsburgh does it. So
really?
The two people you know from Pittsburgh. We don't watch TV.
Yeah, it's a small sample. I'll own that. But
Intel's slashing its prices 40 to 60% for the quad-core server processors. Looks like and a new one's coming up. AMD's got the Barcelona coming up. So Intel is seeing the competition on the way is going to drop the prices on Kentsfield and Clovertown. That's exciting.
Can you add those aftermarket?
Oh, no. Oh, no. You can add the, what's the next one up? The Crestview, Crestwood? But the Clovertown's the one, the Xeon that comes with the Mac Pro. And then I guess the Octo has the new one.
You know, my Mac Pro is plenty fast.
How do you like it?
It's great.
Isn't it great?
It's absolutely smooth. I've got no issues with it. It runs, heck, if it runs Pro Tools, it'll run anything.
Well, and that's what I was saying is that, you know, 4 is enough for most people, I would think.
Yeah, I've never had it. I got like plugins out the wazoo on every track and no problem.
Hey, we want to go ahead.
I'm sorry. Say, what does that mean in terms of for consumers? Does that mean we're going to see drops in Mac Pro prices? Like,
yes, absolutely.
Assuming that Apple passes them along, but 40% to 60% is a pretty hefty drop.
How big a piece of the Mac Pro? How big a piece of the Mac Pro retail price is the? Do the chips represent?
You know, John Dvorak's good at this, and it's always a huge chunk. But like the processor itself, I think is $500 or $600. I can't remember the exact thing. But let's say it dropped $300 in price. That would mean a significant, be like $1,000 or more in the price of the computer.
Historically, what I think they do is they come out with the next rev at the same price.
Right.
So you get the faster chip next time. Mm-hmm. It's like those of us that ordered the MacBook Pro. We ordered a 2 gigahertz processor and we got a 2.16 or whatever.
Right. Yeah, maybe that's what they'll do. Although this is just there is no next generation chip coming out at the same time. Intel's just lowering prices because of the AMD chip, not because of their own chip. So then, it will be interesting to see what Apple does in response to this. I mean, everybody in the PC world will drop prices immediately. Congratulations to John Foster's launching his new MacBreak Tech podcast. It says, if you love MacBreak Weekly, half as much as you love our own podcast. This is Mac User talking. And enjoy the vocal stylings of MacBreak Weekly regular and show notes author John Foster. He's famous as the show notes author.
He's got vocal stylings? John Foster has vocal stylings?
MacBreak Tech. It's really technical. Just the way I like it.
John's great at that stuff, though. He's so knowledgeable and like he's not afraid to just really open the throttle on some pure geek joy.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So you can find it at macbreaktech.com. That's just basically an equally, it's like mbwideas.com. It's basically a link to the feed.
Yeah, there you go.
And it's because nobody put the feed anywhere. So that's how, is it on iTunes yet or is it still missing on iTunes?
I think it is.
We just put up a new, I have to say, thank you for, Scott Simpson is just, thank you, Scott Simpson.
Thank you, Scott Simpson.
Thank you.
I can't pay enough.
He's Mr. iTunes, along with Pete Alcorn.
Fantastic taste, both of them.
Yes. And they recently, I just added a new podcast today, Jumping Monkeys, a parenting podcast, and he was very quick to snap it up and handle all the doodads for me. So I thank you very much.
MacBreak Tech is absolutely available on the
all
iTunes
right.
store.
Excellent.
Yep.
So do a search for that. It's in the tech, I'm sure. How many episodes did you put out now?
There's one up right now. It's under Software How To, but if you do a search on the store, it'll turn up for MacBreak Tech.
Great, 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 great. Let's see. Was anybody at the Apple Store in San Francisco when the zombies arrived?
I was there.
You were in the store?
That's amazing.
I was actually in the store.
Tell us about it.
And I saw people. I didn't have any clue what was going on. I saw these people that looked like they had necks gashed open, and I was like, "Why is that person walking around so calmly? It looks like their neck's been bleeding." And then I walked into the Apple Store, and there was a guy chewing on an iMac, and I said, "Okay, something is very unusual here."
Did he leave teeth marks?
I don't know, because at that point in time, I decided it might be prudent to move on to the restaurant.
Oh, you didn't want to stick around.
No, I was getting ready to do what I'm best at, which is eat.
I would have loved to have been there. That would probably
was hundreds of them. They were everywhere.
What if they got blood on those poor Macs?
It was like fake blood. But I mean, what was really interesting was in the restaurant an hour later, I'm sitting like next to people with bloody necks.
Because
just like casually hung out and got something to eat.
Apparently that's what happened. They had a little party.
They were shopping. They were eating.
So it was like, it wasn't just the Apple Store. It was the whole shopping district downtown.
You know, from about the Westfield Mall all the way up to the Apple Store, then over to Virgin
Records.
Nordstrom's.
That's pretty funny.
They were walking around everywhere. It was bizarre.
Eatbrains.com if you want to
be there for the
next one.
With the bicycle thing that happens too, by the way.
Yes, critical mass.
Critical mass. So we had critical mass. We had zombies. I mean, it was a typical San Francisco day.
Basically, the message is don't drive downtown or you're just going to be sorry.
Yeah.
Last Friday of every month is an excellent day to take BART.
Yeah. No kidding. That's the day for critical mass. And that's,
yeah.
I guess, when they chose to do this as well.
They've kind of ratcheted it up. I noticed that several of the guys had M50s mounted on the front of their bicycle.
So. Oh, wow.
What would you do with that?
Just joke. Just
oh,
joking.
Okay.
It's a machine gun. People.
I know. I'm a little worried. It's a 50 caliber
well,
machine
given
gun.
Well, given some of the altercations.
I believed
that have been,
it.
You know, it's a,
yeah. Yeah. Let's see. What else can we talk about here?
What about the new MacBook Pro?
Is there the new MacBook Pro? There's a new MacBook Pro?
The rumor is that at WWDC, Steve will surprise everybody with a new version, an updated version of the MacBook Pro, or MacBook Pro, and maybe the MacBook.
Is this going to be a speed bump, or what do you think?
I think we're going to see a little speed bump, but mostly we're going to hear about the backlit LED screens we've been promised.
Oh, that's right. And that's, yes, that's right. Yeah. The new MacBooks are not LED screens, are they?
Negative.
Okay. So they'll have to rev those as well.
Yeah, I don't know whether, the rumors I'm hearing are we're only going to hear about MacBook Pro and maybe MacBook. It seems less likely the MacBook. But I think they decided that, you know, having another WWDC where they basically did a complete carbon copy of the WWDC they did a year ago, where they said, hey, we're going to do this new operating system called Leopard, it probably wasn't enough.
I talked about this on the radio on a Friday because the morning show host at KFI insisted. The iGasm.
Oh, God.
This is
interesting.
Apple is not feeling the love on the iGasm.
Apple's not happy, but, you know, they're more unhappy, not because the iGasm exists, because there's other things. There's that little dog, the iDog, that dances to your iPod. And this really,
that's
if you think
cute,
about
though.
It, yeah, it, but this is just kind of a minor modification to the same mechanism. it's created by a porn star, I guess. I don't know her name. Let's see. Wait a minute. Let me see.
Just don't say it, Leo, because you got in trouble last time you did something like that. Okay.
Ann Summers. She has a completely normal name, Ann Summers.
Okay.
And she there's an ad that looks just like an iPod ad.
And that's where they got in trouble.
Yeah, that's where they got in trouble. Hot pink and silhouette of her and. She's got the white earbuds on, and she's got some sort of device in her hand, and it seems to be snaking downwards into her pajama bottoms or whatever.
Was that, so wrong.
Was that clean enough for you?
I was wondering how you're going to pull that off. Very well.
I'm not going to vouch for the usefulness of the product, but I do think – now, by the way, they say they're going to fight it. They say you can't – what do you mean? You can't trademark an ad.
It's a good point. How do you, I mean, because this has been parodied and stolen for years, the whole idea of the mostly, you know, silhouetted figure. I don't know. I mean, how do you, what's the heart of there? So I haven't followed the specifics.
You know, there have been they just say it's
C&D or something like that.
I don't know what they did. I mean, I guess they must have got a C&D. Apple's legal team appears to have its knickers in a twist.
Hello, Governor.
I'm reading from
I think
CNET.
Them trying to sue them is probably going to give it more publicity, because if they wouldn't have, I probably never would have even heard of this.
Oh, you bet. They shouldn't have said anything in the first place.
No.
Yeah, and especially since I don't think there's any merit.
Well, no, I got to disagree with you, Lee. I think in terms of copyright, which is different than trademark, they may indeed have a case.
Yeah, I don't think so, because there's so many other silhouette ads like this, and they haven't fought those.
No duty. This is what's interesting. They actually have no duty to fight these like they do the trademark violations. Yeah.
They want Anne to strip down all the ads, so to speak, for the iGasm or face legal action.
Yeah, they want to see a little more skin.
This would have made a lot more sense if they made it for the Zune, since it's much more common for you to find someone, a single
Zune
person.
In their pants? Lonely Zune owners.
lonely Zune owners.
Actually,
the Zune, you would be able to have a wireless iGasm.
The Zune has, that's right, Wi-Fi. Imagine the power.
You can share that with one of your friends.
The Zune has crossed a border. They've sold 1 million units now.
Please read the article, Karen. Please read the article.
Oh, it's not 1 million units?
They plan to.
Lopez something to say about this.
If you read it carefully, he says, by the end of June, we will have.
Well, that's another month. They're close.
Yeah, they're close. And we don't know who these million are, 900,000 of them for the Microsoft employees.
What does the Macalope say?
You know, Leo, I think we need to get the Macalope on the show.
I think we should. Do you have a number for him? I'll call him right now.
I've extended a friendly antler to the Macalope.
does he talk like Bullwinkle?
You know what? I'm not going to respond to that kind of
Hey, Merlin!
Oh, watch me pull a Macalope out of my hat.
Hey, Leo. Oh.
Put up my sleeve.
Oh.
So, we're old. We should definitely have the Macalope on. No, the point is, this is actually your buddy, right? This Paul.
Yeah, they're yelling at Paul Theroux. My buddy and Twit podcaster, Paul Theroux.
But the actual quote was, let's see, so where is this?
It's not that far off. Come on. I mean, it's going to be in a month.
Well, if somebody had said that about the iPhone, I would have got 2.3 million emails.
The San Francisco Chronicle generated a lot of buzz for Microsoft yesterday by printing a claim that the software giant had already sold more than a million Zunes. So it's the Chronicle. The number comes from an interview with Robbie Buck. I'm sure that's the problem, is that Paul saw the Chronicle article and believed the Chronicle. The number comes from an interview with Robbie Buck, president of Microsoft's Entertainment and Devices Division. The print version has, quote, widely repeated in subsequent commentary here, in nearly 40 newspapers and wire service reports around the world. I'm sure Paul's corrected it by now. Bach said, we're still about 9 months into having Zune in the marketplace. We're very pleased with the progress. We've sold a little over a million Zunes. Okay. In the category we're in, the hard disk-based category, we've got about 10% market share. It's a good start, not an overwhelming start. So Bach said, we've sold a million Zunes.
Have you ever seen anyone using a Zune?
No.
I'm starting to think that.
Yeah, I don't know where these million are going.
So you go on Muni or BART here in San Francisco, and actually, when people come to town, they always notice this. And you know, understandably, there's a market lead. They got out first. Blah 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 blah. But like, freaking everybody. I don't know what it's like in Pittsburgh, Justine, but everybody here has got some iPod.
Everybody.
Bizarre. They do here too. Walk down the street and pretty much everyone has the earbuds in.
My buddy, who is not a tech guy at all, said, I've got an iPod in my, and you know, our other buddy, who's even less technical, has an iPod. It mustn't be cool anymore because we've got them. President Bush has one. The Queen has one. The Pope has one.
President Bush has an iPod?
Yeah, Jenna, the girls gave it to him.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, he listens to it when he's biking. So choices of music are not stellar.
Yeah,
you're not seeing Hootie and the Blowfish. You're seeing
the Lee Greenwood on repeat.
Yeah, there you go. You got it.
I'm proud to be an American.
You got it. No, I think he even has some disco too. Actually,
I'm not. You know, and this is not a shot over
YMCA?
The bow. So
yeah,
this is just a straight up empirical thing. I have a friend. I believe my friend Andre bought one. Andre Torres bought one with money and has a Zune. And so I know from
why
that I think he wanted to, you know, he's a techie kind of guy. He's a hacky guy and he wanted to see what, you know, what it could do. So he has one. He has all kinds of stuff. But it's just funny. You don't see people. You just don't see him around.
No, you don't. Apparently, by the way,
most of those went to Microsoft employees.
You're probably right. Apparently, by the way, the issue is that the Chronicle had a misquote. The full quote for Bach was, when we finish our fiscal year in June, as you say, we'll have sold a little over a million Zunes.
Well, that's accurate.
So it's an editing error. But it took Apple 14 months to reach 600,000 iPod sales. Of course, they sold 25 million in the same period last year.
And they started with a much smaller market share to talk to.
Right.
They did.
But, you know, the thing is, let's just have some ridiculous touchy-feely resolution. It would be great if, you know, if it got popular enough, if, you know, a few more people bought them, that it became a way to drive, you know, the competition.
Absolutely. Competition's good. It'll drop the price.
We want the Zune to succeed.
Yeah. I'll tell you, that's what scares me. If there's anything that scares me about Google, there's, of course,
there's
setting
no competition,
aside.
Yeah,
exactly. It's mainly the fact that you know. There's nobody out there to kind of hold their feet to the fire on keeping stuff moving
forward.
Well,
let's start a competing product called Schmoogle.
There
is the way you're thinking.
There is a Leoogle, Leoo. I'm not kidding. Leoogle.com. Go ahead.
That's good.
Type away.
I'm typing it. We're going to take L-E-O-G-G-L-E?
L-E-O-O-G-L-E.
O-O.
Two O's. Because it's Google with an L-E instead of a G.
Oh, that is so crafty.
Leugle. I didn't do it. Sasha did
That's
it.
Great.
Sasha Lopez. He's crazy. He's a crazy man. Apparently, that wasn't hard to do. I don't know what he did. He did magic. So, the president's iPod. Now, this is a two-year-old article from CNN. He might have updated it. But according,
he probably hasn't, though.
But probably not. And probably he didn't do anything. Probably some aide did it. He's got My Sharona by the Knack. My Sharona. Oh, you are. He's got, let's see. You're right, a lot of country.
A
lot of country. ABC News. What does Bush's iPod reveal about him?
Let me guess, there ain't just a whole bunch of Dixie chicks on there, huh?
He's got Joni Mitchell's You're So Square, Baby, I Don't Care. He's got a little Stevie Ray Vaughan. That's pretty good. This house is
That's
rocking.
Hip.
That's
Stevie
pretty
Ray's hip.
I'll give him some Nothing credit
wrong with
for
that. Nothing wrong with Stevie Ray. The man can play guitar.
Alan Jackson's Gone Country. John Fogerty, who actually campaigned against him. Probably didn't know that when he put it on there. That's the beauty of an iPod. It's just as easy to take songs off it as it is to put them on. Now, according to Boing Boing, there is some Beatles music on there. And as we know, the Recording Industry Association of America says ripping CDs is illegal. So, Mr. President, I ask you, how'd you get the Beatles on there?
Uh-oh. Somebody has some explaining to do.
Explaining to do.
It was all Alberto's fault.
Gonzalez did it.
I asked him for an opinion. He said it was okay. It's his fault.
It is. You're probably right.
Actually, I don't have any recollection of ripping Revolver. I have.
Let's
I'm
have
specific.
Those notes were destroyed.
We need a hearing. That would be just having that would be funny. Yeah. I'm sorry, I have no recollection of that.
Is it fair to say, Mr. Bush, that you are indeed the walrus? Is that a statement that you would be inclined to agree with?
I like that.
The problem is that they would say that they can't remember which of the internets they downloaded the song from.
Right.
Ooh.
Right. The big tube or the little tube. So let's see. Moving up through the list at mbwideas.com. Paleo, this is from a Dark Hawk. And we appreciate it, by the way, when you see a story you think we should be talking about on the show, if you just tag it, put it on Delicious and tag it, MBW Ideas. One word, MBW Ideas. So Greyhawk put a link to a video on Paleo. This is a kind of a neat blog, Paleo Future.
Oh, it's a terrific blog.
So you've read it, but tell us more about it. What is the blog?
Oh, it's a wonderful site that's kind of all about the future that never was.
Never happened, yeah.
You know, the kind of where's my jetpack type stuff. And it's you know, some of it's the what Cory Doctorow might call sort of steampunk stuff. A lot of it is, like, there's stuff like there the other day there was a postcard of people imagining what, you know, in the early 1900s, imagining, you know, everyone will travel in dirigibles in the year 2000.
But once they lick that hydrogen exploding thing, probably.
It's very graphical, and it's if you've ever, you know, enjoyed, you know, kind of, if there used to be more of this stuff. I'll say that. You know, there used to be a lot more of that what will happen in the future kind of stuff. They do a great job of documenting that.
This is a video. It's paleo-future.com, by the way. This is a video of Apple's Gray Flannel Navigator, produced in 19... Have you seen this? Produced in 1988. Remember, it's 4 years into the Mac, and it kind of looks like a Mac. I don't know if... Let me see if they actually talk it through here, because I've got the video, but it may not... I don't know if it's got talking. It's got music. I was late at night in there. The bar was closed. I pulled out my mouth.
Hi, boys.
Oh.
Miss me?
He's talking to his fish. It's one of those cutesy
you have
videos.
11 messages.
This is his Mac he's looking at. Opens a window, types his password. And here's the messages. Wait a minute. This looks a lot like the iPhone. It's got random access messages.
It's Charlie. About Maxwell's proposal.
This could wait.
He sounds like Merlin.
It's Karen. I realize you've been
wow,
on the
road. Random access voicemail. 1988.
The idea, Leo.
It only took them 9 years, 10 years, 19 years. My math's not very good. To get this out there. That's kind
in
of
the future, kind of... everyone will be able to do arithmetic.
Yeah, it's amazing. Amazing.
If you enjoy that stuff, Leo, there's a great new book out called Where's My Jetpack that yes. I just picked up. Have you seen this
dying
book yet?
For that. No, I want a jetpack.
And it's this really fun, very, the writing is wonderful, and it's just this book about all of the, like, all the future that never happened, and kind of explaining, like, what almost happened, what didn't happen, why things didn't right. happen, like, why, literally, why we don't have jetpacks, and why we don't have moving sidewalks, and all the stuff that we all thought we would have by now.
It makes you not want to make any predictions.
Well, it's frustrating, you know? I mean, it seems like there's all this stuff you don't need. And I know that every time I go to SFO and I go to the United Terminal and I get the moving sidewalk, I think to myself,
why?
This is something I could use.
Why did this happen everywhere? What was it? The roads must roll. It was a Heinlein short story. All about the moving sidewalks, but then there's a strike and there's a sudden, the sidewalks stop suddenly and the horror of it all. And that may have done a lot to kill the idea. Silverlight will not arrive, will arrive on Intel Macs, but Microsoft ain't going to make it on the PowerPC. Isn't it funny that Microsoft's going to be the one that starts pulling the plug?
This is the Microsoft version of Flash kind
yes.
of thing?
Yeah, Silverlight, yeah.
That's going to be huge.
Yeah, we're on the edge of our seats for that one.
I know I am.
Okay, never mind. I'm sorry I brought it up.
And by the way, they've got this great color scheme. It's going to be brown.
Well, of course, ooh. Or pink.
Or pink. Hey, that's not bad. We'll take that.
Pink Zune is apparently selling pretty well. I hear they sold 1 million units. Or they will by June 2010.
About 8 of them were brown.
You know, the other point on that 1 million units is they're not clear, and I bet you anything, that they don't say whether it's delivered to retail or delivered to end users. It's almost undoubtedly.
So it could be like the Kiss solo records, right. where they sold a whole bunch of them, but then they went straight into cutout.
Right. Nobody actually bought them.
Interesting.
Seven predictions for WWDC, the Worldwide Developers Conference, which is just 2 weeks off. This is from AppleGazette.com. Number one, multi-touch in Leopard. That's the cool touch navigation in the iPhone.
Let's hope so.
You think so? We've been talking about that a little bit.
It'd be great if they did it.
But they don't have the screens to do it.
Well, that could be part of the announcement we're going to hear on the MacBook Pro, for instance.
Wow. That would really make me angry. Don't you think you got to be careful about how fast you innovate because of all the people who bought the MacBook Pro last month?
Apparently not.
Since when has Apple been concerned about that?
Well, in a way, I have to commend them for that. It sure cost me a lot of money. I just my iPod died, so I know there's going to be a new iPod any minute now, but I don't have an iPod, so I had to go out and buy an iPod.
Oh,
what's the market on eBay like for iPods? Are you just better off to just go out and buy a new one?
Oh, I wasn't going to buy somebody else's used iPod. Who
knows?
You
never know.
Could be loaded up with Lee Greenwood. You might want to give it a
shot. This is odd. You know, this iPod has a bunch of biking music on it.
Hey, plus, plus, plus. We'd definitely buy again.
New GUI for OS 10. Are we ready to abandon Aqua?
I'm just learning it. What do you mean?
So I don't think that's going to happen. Apple's not notorious for changing their GUI fast.
That's a prediction?
Yeah. I'm reading the predictions, yeah. New number three, new iLife with iTunes HD. Now, that I'd like.
That would be good.
We need high def, don't we?
What do you think about that, Scott? I'm going to call BS on that. What do you think of that?
Well, I think we're going to get the new iLife for sure. I don't think that we're going to get the HD. I think we're going to get the new iLife suite because it's way overdue.
But wasn't that tied to Leopard? Wasn't that what's going to happen?
That's why it's overdue. We're waiting for Leopard.
So they'll ship it in October. It'll be iLife 2008. Yeah. There will never have been an iLife 2007.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I have a
But you know what? The good news is my podcasting with GarageBand 3 titles still got legs.
All the authors are happy. Happy.
I've mentioned this to you before, Leo, but I have a stake in the ground on the HD thing, and I would love to be proven wrong because thanks to people like Alex and Scott, I now am increasingly ruined about the image of non-HD content. But I think it's a user experience issue. I mean, I have to say.
Because the files are too big and too slow.
Somebody comes home with their new Apple TV with iTunes HD. They plug it in on their, you know, whatever, home DSL or, God forbid, dial-up. And say, oh, great, I want to go get Weekend with Bernie. And it takes 3 days to download or whatever.
Best movie ever.
That's because it took Bernie 3 days to die.
You guys really think
they put glasses on him so it looked like he was...
I know.
He looks
like my dad. Exactly.
I'm sure your dad loves that.
He's a little more lively.
I know.
Right?
Just that if you had the kind of... It's not even an edge user at that point. That's somebody, you know, who's getting it for Christmas and plugs it in and goes, okay, where's my Bernie? You know, and it's going to take a good long time to...
I disagree, because currently the Xbox 360 offers HD movies and download. Yeah, it takes hours. I mean, it probably takes all night. I don't hear anybody complaining about it, and it sure looks great.
I think it's probably Merlin said, it's not likely to be mandatory. It might be something you can switch on if they're going to do it. But I think Merlin's right. I just think, you know, the claim to fame with the whole iPod iTunes thing is that Aunt Faye can plug it in and it works.
I think I don't think that that's the reason not to do it. I think that they know consumers want it. They know the demand is there. They know that a class of consumers will put up with it. They probably would offer both versions just as they do on Xbox Marketplace.
I'd be happy if they did.
But
cool.
I think there might be a different issue, which is, will the movie companies allow it?
If
they're going to do it, though, I have the title that they should launch with.
Not My Weekend with Bernie?
Well, actually, with Bernie, too, a lot of people feel it's like The Godfather, too. It's actually, quizzically, instrumental on the original.
Yeah.
Has a lot more Al Neary in it. I think what they need to start with, they need to go out and they need to get a hold of the BBC Planet Earth series, narrated by Richard Attenborough, and they need to put that out. Because I'll tell you, I had the HD. I watched the Battlestar Galactica in HD and, Sopranos, and it was good. It was fun. It was nice. Then I watched Planet Earth.
And you saw real HD.
It's not only is it the best nature show I've ever seen, but the stuff that they do with camera work and everything in that is just, this is the stuff that they should be running at Costco. You know,
did you get that on DVD or how did you get that?
DVD. Actually, it's running on the HDNet on DirecTV right now, but you can also get it on DVD.
I'll have to Netflix it. That's cool.
Outstanding. That would be a pick for me. Go find Planet Earth. It's unbelievable.
Planet Earth by the BBC.
Yeah, and get the English version, the non-Sigourney Weaver version, the one that actually has Richard Attenborough. It's amazing.
See, that's dumb. They replaced him with... That's stupid.
They didn't want to pay that big Attenborough money. They knew that was going to really run into serious.
Hey, I have to apologize, by the way, for confusing David McCullough with David Attenborough yesterday.
Last week.
Yeah, a little spy action there going on.
I know the difference.
That's the Truman biography guy, right?
Truman, yeah. And the one that I really loved was the John Adams. That was the book that I listened to on Audible, the John Adams biography, read by David McCullough. It was just excellent. But you can confuse the two because they're both primarily known for their academics, you know, and their writing, and yet they turn out to be incredible readers, both of them. They really are excellent narrators.
Well, into my early 20s, I continued to confuse Seals and Croft with Sid and Marty Croft.
So. H.R. Puffin stuff versus...
Diamond Girl. It was very confusing. Yes, yeah.
I'm a dream.
So I'm looking for Battlefield Earth. Is that it?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
No, okay, now in a different way, that is one of the all-time greatest movies ever.
Is that the John Travolta one?
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I have to tell you, I enjoyed that movie.
Well, it's one star on Netflix, but I'm getting
it. You should get a smaller bong.
I've never seen it, so I'm going to...
I had a good time. I thought it was one of those things that's so bad it's good.
Totally is.
Okay, so what is it? Planet Earth?
Planet Earth.
But get the BBC version.
I'll check myself. Planet Earth, and it was on the BBC, and it's running right now on...
I see it here. Yeah. Visions of the Earth.
If you got HD, add a subscription on your TiVo.
The groundbreaking Planet Earth series continues with North America. Okay, so they have each one is on a different disc.
Yeah. And then that'd be great.
And then
Family
the complete collection, four disc series, complete collection. But that's the question is wow, $25 million budget. Wow.
Yeah. They spent 600 hours on one shoot, on one shoot trying to get these birds of paradise in, I think it was Papua New Guinea, they spent, I think it was 600 hours on one shoot.
Oh, I've got
it. Do they have that in
Blu-ray? I got to buy it.
I saw it at Costco for $58 American, and it's a pretty, it's a multi-disc set. In fact, let's say that's the one I got. It's But it's a multi-disc series, and they're it's a great.
There's a Blu-ray disc in there.
Sure. No, I think it's not.
It's not.
I don't know. I will check the Amazon.
But is that the? But I'm going to check Amazon right now. But is that the BBC version or the Sigourney Weaver?
It absolutely is. And if you want a taste of this, you can.
BBC series. I see it right here.
At a rat hole. They talk with one of the directors of Fresh Air.
But this is not HD DVD. I want HD.
Yes, it is. Look at the second entry. Search for Planet Earth on Amazon.
Okay. Complete BBC
Except
series.
Blu-ray and HD. It's $67 on HD or Blu-ray. Amazon Prime.
Prime. 2-day, one click. It'll be here Friday.
I think Amazon should start investing in wine, because I'm pretty convinced that wine plus Amazon Prime is what's going to put me in the poorhouse.
You know what I'm doing with Amazon Prime now? I get toilet
paper. 10:15. I'm ordering Pink Floyd discs.
I know. Just click. It's one click. I don't know what I ordered, but I ordered it. It'll be here day after tomorrow.
The next day I wake up and see the things that I've ordered.
Isn't it fun?
That could be trouble.
I order toilet paper this way.
I got paper towels. It's
paper
so
towels. You know they have
you
this.
You really
new,
did?
Yeah, they have
it's
this
the
new,
most embarrassing thing I've ever done in my life.
They have this new subscription thing.
Oh yeah, every 3 months, bring me a case of paper towels.
It's the greatest thing.
Wait, you guys are getting this Amazon?
Yeah, phrase Amazon has a new thing. It's in beta.
Yeah,
it's a
slightly differently. Put a bunch of paper on a truck in Nevada, drive it to San Francisco, and then drop the paper off at my house.
But we've already paid shipping because we pay the $75 for Amazon Prime.
Al Gore would not like that. I don't.
And. Well, you can get seventh generation paper towels.
You know, guys, I hate to tell you,
the only paper towel with a carbon credit.
There's this company called Buy.com. You don't have to pay any sales tax or any shipping. That's where I get my stuff.
I'm not paying sales tax or shipping because I paid for Prime, so it's got 2-day free.
You're picking up the sales tax later at tax time. You go through your receipts.
Oh, right. I do have to make sure I put that in my IRS or my estate form, because as you know,
they don't ask for sales tax.
Not on Amazon. That's actually the whole battle going on right now in the Congress.
Oh, you know what? They charge me sales tax because I have a Washington domicile.
That's why. You're in Seattle. But in California, they don't. However, the state of California does require and request that you actually add it to your form.
That's your
excise. Let's take this all out in post, right, Leo?
No, I never order anything, actually.
Hey, there's a new thing that just popped up on my Skype. It says Agent Wilson from the IRS would like to speak to Merlin.
And now this brief David Attenborough moment. Ooh, that's pretty. Planet rotating in space.
Big I'm Sigourney Weaver.
I'm Sigourney Weaver, and if you hate aliens as much as I do, you'll love this waterfall. Yeah, I'm not gonna. It's all music. I want to hear Attenborough. That's dramatic music. So is the whole movie like that?
No.
When does Travolta come in?
It is amazing how quickly that you are able to get things shipped to you, Leo.
I mean, yes, it's,
talking about
I'm
that.
Telling you.
Amazon Unbox for that.
BBC Prime. I mean, Amazon Prime. I mean,
you guys, it was $75 and you get it within a few seconds.
Yes.
That's great.
Isn't that great?
That is pretty impressive.
You want to watch the L Word? Okay.
Absolutely.
Moving on. more speculation on WWDC. Again, from the Apple Gazette. Blu-ray support.
Ooh.
Blu-ray support. What do you think?
I think it's crazy, but I'd love for them to do it.
Apple's already said they're going to support Blu-ray.
Where does Blu-ray support happen? If the device already, you need a Blu-ray.
Drive.
A drive. Mm-hmm.
And this is a little trickier. If you want to watch Blu-ray movies, you need to support HDCP. And I think that's why you haven't seen Blu-ray readers in any Apple product. Because Vista supports it, of course. But Apple has yet to put that copy protection, junk in there. Unless they have and didn't tell us. Leopard iPhone integration, number 5. Yeah. Number 6, new Mac Minis and MacBook Pros. We just talked about that. And number 7, one more thing. This is his one more thing. I like it. When are we going to get it? The ultra-portable iMac with a multi-touch screen.
Ultra-portable.
Oh, I want one.
We've had one for a long time. It's called the Newton.
Oh, yeah. A color Newton would be good. I should add that to my predictions. I think they'll announce a color Newton. Oh, yeah. I got a Newton, Justine. You got to see it. It's so great.
You do?
Oh, yeah. I have I'm running Apache on it. It's actually how twit.tv is served.
Oh, right.
Via Newton. Via Newton.
That's great.
Is your single device a Trio, Justine?
Yes.
That's everything. Your one. You carry one thing you carry around with you.
Definitely. That and now a Sony Vaio laptop. But...
Can I ask you a question, Justine?
Yeah.
Do you have any problems syncing your Trio with your Mac?
I don't. Surprisingly, I think I'm the only person in the world that has never had any problems with this Trio.
No. I haven't had any problems either.
Is it a Palm? Is it a Palm or Windows?
Yeah, it's Palm.
Yeah, Palm syncs fine with a Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. Unless you threw it in the San Francisco Bay.
Yeah,
that's true.
It doesn't sync as well.
It didn't sync with mine.
It sank all the way to the bottom is where it sank.
I tell you what, that was the best day of my life getting rid of that thing.
So what do you use now?
I'm just using the cheapest Verizon phone they got until it comes time to get my iPhone.
That's a way to do it.
I'm
but, you know, I said I just want a regular phone, and they still sold me a thing that's got a can opener and everything else in it. But it's just a little – I don't even know what kind it is. I paid $240 for it.
Wow, I don't think that's their cheapest one.
Well, it is because, see, they were like, would you like to extend your contract for 22 years?
Oh, sure.
No, thanks. I'll just pay for the phone.
Yeah. So,
and I'm going to actually keep it as a backup, maybe give it to Aunt Faye, who knows. And when the iPhone comes, I'm going to find out if Singular can provide me with decent service. That's my biggest fear about switching.
Well, what is it you fear, Scott?
I fear coverage. I fear coverage lapses.
His biggest
fear
is
success. I'm here to tell you, I was in Guernville last week up by the Russian River, and Singular was the only system up there that would work at all. Now, I know you don't spend a lot of time in Guernville. But,
I don't even know what the heck Guernville is.
Oh.
If you start smelling a monkey house, just go a little further. Okay, we're going to have to edit that out. It's a very rural wine country area.
Are you mocking the Bohemian Club? Where's the monkey house?
Oh, no, it's just that kind of, you know, rural sort of...
It does. This is where I live, and twice
it's
a year,
Fresno, but...
twice a year, it gets a little fragrant, a little pungent. Because
sure, you smell like the monkey house. Be honest.
Yeah, well, it's dairies. It's dairies. Yeah. We call it dairy air.
Yeah, Fresno feel got a little of that.
Yeah, it's a little dairy air.
So you have used Singular?
No, but it was really funny. I mean, it's conventional wisdom in there. Like the woman that checked us into the hotel, all of our friends.
Yeah, I got five bars right here in Petaluma.
And you're on Singular?
Oh, yeah. Well, I have several, but I'm looking at my Singular right now.
I have several.
I have several phones.
I am interested to see how the Singular service is because I really don't want to switch because I don't have that much issues with them. That many issues, rather, with Sprint. So
Sprint's good, and they have fast 3G.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. So
having Sprint for a phone care is like having Kaiser for your medical care. It's like you're fine as long as nothing ever goes wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
Are you saying that their support is not fine?
I would say their support is not fine.
No, that's true. You know what? They randomly sent me another phone, and they randomly like added on another line, and they're like, "Well, you requested this, didn't you?"
Really?
Like, actually, no, I didn't, but thank you.
Wow, that's wild.
It was kind of weird.
Well, I hope that Singular / AT&T does a good job, and if they do, then that will make everything fine. I have to admit, my Verizon service has been very good. I haven't had any dropped calls. I've had service anywhere I've wanted it, so that is problematic for me to think about the switch.
So, but I mean, you've cited this concern numerous times, and the concern is primarily a coverage thing. It's not a service thing. It's mostly you just want to make sure that when you travel, you'll have coverage.
Well, I have had some unfortunate service experiences already. I did a test enrollment with Singular as part of an article I'm writing, and then canceled it to see what the customer service was like. And some 6 months later, I'm still getting the bill for the account that I never actually opened.
Hmm.
This is the same level of support one gets from Nikon, which is you know, we're not happy till you're not happy. Anyway, I made my concerns clear to them. And over time, as you say, Merlin, if you work hard enough, you get the right person. Eventually you get someone that cares. They take care of it. And now I got a bill for minus 70 cents last Wednesday, which I'm not quite sure what that was all about. Probably cost me $4 to send it to me. But apparently they owe me 70 cents for a transaction in which no money changed hands. So that's pretty cool.
Merlin, we might start making some serious dough soon.
Merlin, who is the Macalope? Come on, tell us.
We know it's Merlin. Tell the truth.
He's very funny. I'm just reading his posting from last week, iFlop. He's talking about Seeking Alpha's Todd Sullivan. It sure does sound like Merlin, actually.
A lot of people thought it was John Gruber, but I think John has said that it's not him.
John hates Therat so much that was my first reaction, is that it's probably, you know, but it could be that Therat
hate
is spreading.
If we have the Macalope on, we're going to need to do some kind of sophisticated voice disguising thing.
Has anybody seen Merlin and the Macalope in the same room? I just have to read this. iFlop. Seeking Alpha's Todd Sullivan, he says, it's appropriate that your headshot shows you standing in a forest, which you likely cannot see for all those damn trees. He says, the iPhone, Apple's first flop. So the Macalope responds, Apple's first flop? Wow, you really are quite the student of Apple, aren't you? The Macalope is sure we're going to be treated to some top-notch analysis. He goes on to quote, I do not want to have to turn off my music to get a phone call, to which the Macalope replies, I do not want to be able to hear the people I'm talking to. Well, okay, seems a little strange to the Macalope, but different strokes for different folks. Note to Sullivan, the iPhone automatically lowers the music volume when you can get a call. You know this guy, don't you, Merlin?
If I did know the Macalope, I wouldn't be able to say. So for all of our sake, let's get the Macalope on here.
It's funny. We should have him on. All right, next show, Macalope. Next show.
I will see what I can do. We have a system.
I can process his voice.
We have a blind drop, and I'll leave a note.
I can process his voice so that no one will ever know who it is. We'll put him on the phone. We'll have him on a separate channel. And I'll make him sound like this.
You get a secure line? Is that something you have?
A secure line. I do have a secure line. I have an encoded line with a red phone.
Passed along to the Mac. Yeah.
Well, you know, I have heard that the Mac is actually Deep Throat.
Deep Throat's dead.
I just think he's a very funny writer.
Dramatic in terms of getting him on the show then, huh?
It couldn't be Merlin. He has too many blogs already. He couldn't have another blog.
From your mouth to God's ear.
It's somebody we know, though. You know it is. All right.
Well, here's the real question, Leo. Have we ever seen that phone guy and the Macalope at the same room at the same time?
I don't know.
Interesting.
So let's – now, Justine, we have a little tradition here. We call Jump the surprise guest host, in which we tell you and give you just a few minutes to come up with a Mac – pick of the week, a program that you use or you like. So think about that. I won't put you on the spot quite yet.
Okay. I'll think about it.
Think about it, because we're going to start today with Mr. Merlin Mann.
I have two half picks, because one of them is a pick you already made, and the other is a website. My pick, in which I'm giving my thumbs up alongside Leo's, is 1Password.
Oh, isn't it great?
I believe this was a pick of the week for you a month or two ago.
Yes.
And because I don't actually listen to what all of you guys are saying when we do the podcast, I don't think I'd process what you said. This is a really handy application. What it does is it's using Keychain, which you already use to kind of take care of all your passwords, but it's a smarter way of dealing with passwords inside of your browser. So Safari, OmniWeb, Firefox, whatever it is that you use. In my experience, it's worked on four different browsers, Firefox, Flock, Safari, and OmniWeb. And what it does is it's real smart about knowing what pages to associate with which logins, and it automatically will put that information in for you and auto-submit it. And this is something that's been around on Firefox for a while, but you haven't had with the Mac. And it's also got some neat features that used to work great in Explorer that have not been as great in Safari, believe it or not, which is stuff like filling out profiles. So you can fill out a profile for your real self filling out
forms.
You
can have many profiles too, which is nice.
Exactly. You can have this phony baloney, my fake identity, Thorstensen Finlanson is my...
Thorstensen Finlanson.
Thorstensen Finlanson.
That's you?
That's me.
Because I heard on a good authority that that's the Macalope.
Thank you. I was just about to point that out.
Thor Stenson for
Thor Stenson Finlanson. It's a reference to the Hudsucker Proxy.
That's and, where I heard that name before. All right.
you can make up this totally fake identity. So if you want like blah blah information for those, like enter your personal information to download this exclusive white paper, you can have all that crap be fake information. Anyway,
I just wish it worked with my pick of the week this week.
Ooh, do you wanna jump in here?
No, do your website and then I'll mention mine.
Well, and the other one, and this is a website. That, so anyway, that's 1Password. And where does that live, Leo?
I think it's the number1password.com. But let me just try it real quick. Yeah, number1PASSWD. No, .com. So
that's right. Exactly
drop
right.
The okay. last the last vowels.
And there. It's the typical, like, I think it's $30.
Worth it. You can try it for free, and I did for a while, but... almost immediately. I bought it, I think, within the first few hours.
Oh, no, I bought it immediately. And just to let you know, of course, if you're using anything like .MacSync, it'll sync up your keychains for you so you don't lose this from machine to machine.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and I forgot the other one. I forgot the other one. The generating passwords. This is so great. This is actually the thing I love.
Now, keychain will do this, but this is so much easier. It's hard to get to the keychain.
This is so much easier. You can have it generate a ginormous password for you. Very complex, hard-to-hack password.
This is also nice because it will also fill in the... the .ht access and the other weird password forms that are not actually on the web.
Yeah, like Apache Realms, all that stuff that will remember all that crap for you.
Yeah.
And I should say it will remember multiples of all of these. So if you're using several logins, like for like the same like TypePad or whatever, it will remember all of those. So anyway, that's a rerun, but it's a good one.
You just want to replace my quote on the front page of the
site.
Oh,
look at you. Pick of the week. No, I will.
You're going to say Leo Laporte and Merlin Mann.
Me too, says Merlin Mann.
Yeah, you know, that's even better. Me too, says Merlin Mann.
Typically uncreative fit, Merlin Mann agrees with someone.
An atypically uncreative fit. What's the website?
Doodle.
I don't know Doodle.
Doodle.ch. I wrote about this before on 43 Folders.
Oh, it's the Swiss Doodle.
Swiss Doodle, yeah. I wrote about it again today, doodle.ch, and it does one thing.
How does it work?
Okay, so here's the way it works. You've got a meeting or a call. Actually, Leo, this would be perfect for scheduling when to do Mac Break. How many times has this happened to you?
Oh.
You've got 10 people that you need to get together for whether it's dinner or what have you. And you sit there and you play email secretary
I love this.
You go out and say, here's 10
your choices.
Days.
Yeah.
Or here's 15 times. You put all of this out. You send it to everybody who needs to. They go in and they vote for which ones they want for a meeting. And it compiles all this for you and then comes up with the optimal date and time.
Now, you could use it for regular polls, too. I mean, it could be...
Yeah, and they do polls as well. They do real polls as well. But, a lot of people are like, oh, you can do this in Outlook. Well, I don't have Outlook. And this is really lo-fi. It's really simple. And if you've ever been a project manager or a make-believe project manager and you've had to try and get 10 or 15 people in the same place at the same time, it's a crazy-making enterprise. So doodle.ch, it's free.
And if you really want to have fun with your correspondence, you could do it in Italian.
The Swiss are a polyglot people.
Cose doodle, come funzione.
They're between the Germany, the Italy, and
it looks like Romanian. They got a Romanian or RM. I guess that's Romanian.
And so what I read about today on the site, though, is using Doodle as this passive-aggressive way to jumpstart a project.
Great idea.
So if you've had a project that's kind of gone fallow for whatever reason,
right.
Use Doodle to say to people, hey, when can we do a 5-minute or 10-minute check-in
I'm
going to
do this. I'm going to do this with Floss Weekly, which is basically moribund because, so Chris DeBona is very busy. He's very busy. I understand. So I'll wait for you. He had a baby, blah, blah, blah. But nothing's
maybe
happened.
He had an itch to scratch.
He had an itch to scratch. And
that's
he scratched
open source.
It. It is done. And now he doesn't want to scratch anymore. So I added Mad Dog Hall because Mad Dog's great. I thought, and then Mad Dog says, "Well, I got to go to Brazil." So now I added Randall Schwartz. Randall Schwartz is on a cruise.
Oh.
So basically, I got three hosts and still no podcast. So so I'm going to doodle them all and say
more passive aggression, Leo. It's doodle will help afford
it's
that.
Solve my problem. Thank you, Mr. Merlin Mann, as usual. So the only I switched to 1Password. It works with Safari. It works great. It works with Firefox. Great. But I've started using Flock more and more. Now, I mentioned this last week, but I thought I'd make it my software pick because I don't know if people have tried it lately. I tried it early on when it was a very early beta. It's still in beta. It is based on the Firefox engine. So it's the Gecko engine, flock.com. And now, you sounded a little dismissive of it last week, Merlin. Is there a reason not to like Flock?
No, I like Flock fine. It's... I'm trying to remember why I might have sounded dismissive.
I think some people don't like it because it seems like maybe they're trying to commercialize on the Firefox code base. I don't know.
Yeah.
A number of people, Tara Hunt, Chris Messina, were there and left. They've gone through a lot of developers, and yet I think it's getting better and better and better. I really like it. Now, here's why I like Flock. First of all, delicious integration. Mm-hmm. And that was one reason I use Flickr. It's got a Flickr toolbar now. So it's got the ideal Flickr integration. And if you're blogging, you could drag the photos from the Flickr toolbar right into your blog. It has blog support for most standard Blogger and WordPress type blogs.
XMLRPC.
Yep, it's the XMLRPC request. It also does, I think it's got the best news reader I've used in there. I mean, it's just a really fantastic news reader built in. It beats Safari in terms of the functionality. And it beats many of the Firefox plugins, too. I think it's just a very, very nice. You should try it anyway.
Do
you use Flock?
I do. I use it pretty much mostly just for like blogging and updating stuff to Flickr.
Very fast, so quick way to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
I would suggest rerunning your install of 1Password because I, for one, have a toolbar showing up for 1Password.
Oh, you do?
So try rerunning your...
Another reason to love 1Password, if it recognizes Flock, I'm so happy.
That'll be great.
Yeah. If Flock gets better and better. I used it when it first came out. It was buggy and crashed a lot. It's now much... To me, it seems more stable than Firefox, but that's probably because of all the extensions I have running on Firefox. It does all the same things Firefox does, but it does it, I think, in a slicker way. And the integration for Flickr, it says you can bookmark stuff at Shadows, and it's I don't know if it's a service that's still around or not.
You can also set delicious. I mean, I think this is one thing that freaked me out a little bit. Was a little unclear to me at first. You can set it up so that if I'm not mistaken, you can have your bookmarks automatically
stored on delicious. That's right.
Yeah,
so I use a feature, and this may be what's crashing Firefox. I use the Google Browser Sync on Firefox, which is great. I mean, that means all my bookmarks on all the versions of Firefox I use on all platforms, Windows, Mac, all my computers, it's the same. But I think it's a little buggy. I have to say that using Delicious to do this. Now, you're worried about them being public? Is that the...
Oh, I mean, yeah, just to know what stuff I'm putting out, publicly versus locally.
I haven't played with that.
I think you can control that. One thing we should mention is it's really good looking, and at least on my Mac, it's very Mac-like.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Very shiny.
Yeah. Highly
That's
recommend.
That's always good.
Shiny, happy Flock. FLOCK.com. I would just say many of you probably have already tried it and I would say it's time for another look.
I'll give it another look, Leo. I was not impressed originally.
I wasn't either. It was very crashy. I didn't get it. But now, between the news, the blog postings, and the Flickr integration and Delicious integration, I think they've come a lot closer to something that's very usable. And I'm glad to see if 1Password works with it. I'll be very happy. Scott Bourne, you have a pick.
I do, but first I have a news item we missed. We should mention that Apple issued a security update today for QuickTime 7.1.6.
Yes,
that fixes little thing that the guys got paid $10,000 to do when they were able to hack in through a MacBook Pro by standing on their left foot and scratching their right side three times or something. Anyway, that's something we
absolutely
should.
Right. I neglected to mention it. I had installed it this morning. It came across.
So my pick is, this is like an Alex and a half. I'm sorry, but it's actually, I wish there would be a way to get just the thing I want out of it for less, but Apple in their infinite wisdom has decided to make Soundtrack Pro 2 part of the Final Cut suite. So my pick is Final Cut 2.0, the studio version, because of Soundtrack Pro.
Now, because I was able to get Soundtrack Pro standalone in version 1. Does it sell standalone?
Negative. That's my pick. So you got to spend $1,298 bucks or whatever to get this. And Leo, you know, I've been using Pro Tools since version 1, and we're now in version 7. So I've got a lot invested in Pro Tools. But I have to admit, I got my Final Cut Studio today, and I am tempted to make the permanent switch to Soundtrack Pro. It is extremely cool. Number one, multi-track, finally.
Yep.
Number two, you can do 6 tracks simultaneously. So you can have 6 different tracks going on with different inputs. They've really streamlined the interface. You can even do Dolby 5.1 surround. So if you're making stuff for Apple TV, Merlin, this would be a way to do it if you want to do the whole surround experience. And I really like the workflow. The UI is gorgeous. The bins that you can put data into, you can just go get information out of the bin and reuse it because these are not physical connections to media. They're logical. So you're working off an EDL, essentially. And it's really overkill for podcasting, but, you know, I can't help myself.
One of my complaints about it, and one of the reasons I stopped using it, was it was kind of sluggish feeling.
Well, see, this is like a Flock thing now, Leo. Everything you thought you knew about Soundtrack Pro, forget it. It's all different now.
No, and I, you know, they came up here and asked me in great detail all the things I hated about it. And it sounds like they've responded to those. I wish they would send me a copy because now I got to go out and buy Final Cut Studio for $1,200 to see. But anyway,
yeah, it's there's a lot of stuff in there that I'm not going to need, but I really like it, and I'm very seriously considering making the switch at Penango Productions to this software.
Oh, I would love to. I mean, I'm still, it's the only reason I'm still using Windows over here is because for Audition.
I don't. I if you were to use this, I'm pretty sure you would rethink that.
And now let's go to the video blogger, iJustine.tv.
Oh.
Have you? We've gave you as much time, and I've been watching you click away, looking for something fun and exciting and cool for us. And what have you found?
Well, it's not exactly an app, but it kind of is.
That's
the new
fun.
Facebook apps.
Are you excited about that? Now, you're. I'm actually glad you brought this up because you're a Facebook user.
I am so excited. I've started liking Facebook a lot more ever since they started using the GIFs. And then I just started using it, and now with the implementation—sorry, I can't even talk today.
When you say using the GIFs, what do you mean?
Like the Facebook GIFs, whenever they started selling them for a dollar, that pretty much got me hooked.
I don't understand. Now, what's a GIF? You mean the image, the Facebook images?
No. They have Facebook GIFs.
Oh, like gifts. You can buy stuff. Oh, yeah, you send people stuff.
You purchase the little images for a dollar.
I got it.
Absolutely unnecessary, but that's actually when I first started getting interested in it. And now that they have the open API and everyone's
starting to. Well, send me a gift, would you?
I will. I'll send you one.
So I could see what that's like.
But one of the first things that I really was excited about is the Facebook video. So you can just upload directly and you can tag your friends.
They're trying to go against YouTube.
Yeah. But
is it as good as? I mean, you do a lot of videos. Is it as good as YouTube?
Yeah, the video quality looks pretty good. And the thing that I like is a lot of my friends are in the videos that we create. So I'm able to tag them on Facebook, and pretty much everyone can see who's in the video, or and it'll also show up on their mini feed. So that's just more people that'll be clicking on it.
Now, what networks are you a part of? Because that seems to be a big part of Facebook, is what groups you're in.
I'm really just in the Pittsburgh network.
Just that?
So, yeah, that's basically it.
Okay. I'm just in the Petaluma-Sonoma, or Sonoma-Marin network. It's not a big network. There's just two of us.
Oh.
No, I'm sure it's bigger than that. Sonoma
I'm
Napa.
Sure there's
there are 5,420 Sonoma Napians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm definitely going to send you a gift right now.
Okay, because I've read about this new API, and I'm trying to get it, and I'm trying to see. To me, Facebook is just kind of opaque. I just don't get it.
You know what? I thought so, too, but I'm really excited about this. So.
The slogan's run, I'm telling you. You reach a certain age. And
have you gone red?
I know. I've started flashing red. I have to go to carousel.
He's a runner. Get him. So are you saying you're too old to get it, Merlin?
A lot of what she just said was just completely pops and buzzes to me. I'm lost on a lot of that stuff. Well, Hank last week totally dressed me down about Verb, which was the one of those networks I would ever consider joining.
You know, I'm going to have to pay Hank for his appearance on that show. We got so much positive feedback from what?
Justine, last week,
my 12-and-a-half-year-old son, Justine, appeared on the show.
Oh, really? Oh, that's great.
He beat up on Merlin on T9 and a variety of other things. And, like, all the young people went, go Hank.
and he's on Verb?
No, he's a Facebook user.
I see.
Actually, I think he's still MySpace. Abby went to
that. He's Dick Danger, remember?
Oh, yeah, Ray Danger.
Danger. Yeah. I'll have to ask him.
And then, then Abby's gone to Facebook. My 15-year-old's gone to Facebook. So it may be a generational thing.
It might be.
And we old folks think that Verb should be hipper, and so we're trying to pretend how hip we are by using Verb.
One of these days. I don't know, but Facebook,
Are you still using I'm in Like With You?
I am, yes. I'm in Like With You fan. It's really cool because actually today someone called me from there for the first time. And this person doesn't have my number. They don't have any other way of contacting me other than through I'm in Like With You.
So how do they call you?
I guess it's just through their network.
On their cell phone? They call you on a cell phone?
Well, what they do is they click the call button like on their website and then it calls them back
so
and then
weird.
Calls me. So it's kind of weird.
See, that's what I don't want to have happen.
Yeah, that could be a little
odd. I'm going to close that account right away.
Well, no, but the only people that can contact you are the ones that would win your game.
Okay.
Or if you won theirs, so.
So the only person who's won my game is some like 18-year-old guy, so I think I'm safe.
Maybe, and I think I'm your contact too, so.
Oh, yeah, I won a game. I won your
game. You did.
Game. Yeah, you let
did.
Me win.
I did.
Erlen, do you have any idea what they're talking
about? No idea, Scott.
Thank you.
The kids know.
And, the kids do.
And
so are you bidding on people? How does this work?
You create a game,
eBay,
right?
From Oceans. What is it?
Yeah, it's sort of eBay style bidding for people, except you can't get in contact. I know. It sounds worse than it is.
How much that sounds out there, Justine.
So the way that MySpace or Facebook or Verb works is that somebody just says, I want to be your friend, and you say yes or no to this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on I'm in yeah. Like With You, they can't do that. They have to win a game, and you create a game is not really that hard. I mean, a game is just complete the sentence, right? Sort of.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was, and actually, the cool thing is one of my friends. He did a game that the highest bidder he would donate some sort of amount of money if he got past like 2,000 points. So he donated to two different charities, like $200.
Neat. That's really cool.
So, I mean, it was cool because people were finding, you know, random ways that are a little more interesting.
And you get points by answering questions or by adding a phone. I mean, you get points by participating mm-hmm. on the site, basically.
Who has time to do all this?
I'm not sure.
People with cameras on their heads.
There you go.
They do, yes. If you're wearing a camera on your head, you have time for imlikewithyou.com.
You wouldn't think I'd have time for it, as busy
as I really
would.
Nor would I think you'd have time for World of Warcraft or any of the other pursuits that you're involved
but
in.
But I feel that it's my fiduciary responsibility.
This is homework for work.
This is
you're
what
I'm doing it for the kids.
I'm doing it for the kids because you know, if I don't do it, who will?
That's kind of how I feel about going to House of Prime Rib, Leo.
Hey, speaking of which.
As president of the Horizontally Challenged Podcasters
go.
Of America, I have to eat as much prime rib as possible.
I'm going to House of Prime Rib, but first I'm going to see if I can have... Maybe we should have a I'm in Like With You contest on the House of Prime Rib.
The winner gets to come eat prime rib with us?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
That would be hilarious.
Now, see, I can share my I'm in Like With You on my Facebook.
You can.
So how do I... I don't get how I do that. Oh, my photo gallery then goes to Facebook. Oh, that was a very... Wow, that was very... So is this the new API?
Because
that was easy. I went to I'm in Like With You. I clicked a button that says click to share on Facebook. I said okay, and it did it.
Well, it did that before too. But, I mean, most of the new stuff is just like the applications.
Okay. Anyway,
yeah,
I'm
going to
check it out. Facebook.com. And I'm in Like With You .com. And
I'm in Like With You and see if I can get the House of Prime Rib on my I'm in Like With You.
You should. I'll send you guys some invites.
Please do, would you? And I want to thank you, Justine, for taking time out of your busy camera head activities.
Oh, it's difficult, I know.
The site is ijustine.tv. You can watch Justine and see what she's up to. I think it's very cool. And, of course, tastyblogsnack.com is her blog. Thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
Great to talk to you. Scott Bourne is at applephoneshow.com. And that's where you'll find out everything you'd ever want to know about the Apple phone. Or the iPhone, as it's known.
That's correct.
Yes. And Merlin Mann is at 43folders.com and themerlinshow.com. What's the newest on the Merlin Show?
We're putting together our what looks like it's going to be a 6-episode arc with the wonderful Jesse Thorne from The Sound of Young America, the best podcast in America today.
The Sound of Young America?
Yeah.
Is he actually young?
MaximumFun.org. Oh, it's disgusting. He's like 25 and he's building this podcast empire and he's really
brilliant.
Oh,
that's neat. What's the URL?
MaximumFun.org. And that's also where you get the Coil and Sharp podcast.
Ah.
He puts out another episode of Coil and Sharp. And I definitely would recommend checking it out.
I do love the name, The Sound of Young America.
Yeah. He's part of the new sincerity movement in America.
The new sincerity movement. It's not ironic. It's actually sincere.
Yeah, it's like meta-ironic.
Meta-ironic. So no, ironic that it's sincere.
These kids today with their sincerity, feh.
You know, I was sincere before it was hip.
I remember.
I was sincere before the young people discovered sincerity. They were all ironic, but I was sincere. They thought I was ironic, but no, it was sincere.
I remember I would say to people, you're not going to need that buggy whip. And they'd say, you're kidding, Laporte. And I'd say, of course I'm kidding. I'm being ironic.
It's ironic. Horses will be here forever.
Then I put this device on my head that would allow me to make daguerreotypes.
All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We're going to see you next time. Another Mac Break has done broke. Bye-bye.